What an incredible morning already. Thank you all for all that you've done. Last year on Rally Day, we listened to the story of the Israelites standing at the Jordan River. If you remember, they can see the promised land, but the raging waters are so high, they cannot safely cross. There's fear about what they will find on the other side. So they send in scouts to discover fierce tribes against which they will wage war. And their great leader, Moses, dies just before he steps foot in the promised land. Here is a people having waited for generations for this land of milk and honey, and having followed a God of wind and fire through the wilderness. They are so close, and yet so far away. Grief, confusion, fear. It all settles into a people who wonder about a God that gets them so close to the promise and then puts before them more stumbling blocks. Our story this morning brings us to a similar moment. This time we are reading from the conclusion of the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus has fulfilled his mission, loving God and others unconditionally, suffering an unjust, violent death, and rising 3 days later. The disciples, having heard the news from the women about the empty tomb, scramble to the mountaintop in Galilee. Think about this moment. Just pause. Their beloved teacher has been unjustly convicted, rejected by his people, brutally crucified and buried. The disciples had abandoned their entire lives to follow Jesus. They stood against both religious and political leaders. They ate with outcasts, touched lepers, and defied Hebrew customs. In the end, Jesus surrenders to the very powers from which they had thought he would save them. They are overcome with grief, confusion, fear. At this moment, right here, Jesus reveals himself on the mountaintop, resurrected in God's glory and coming to them. What appeared as a failure now exemplifies victory. Jesus defeats death. There is nothing on this earth that can stop their God. So when they see Jesus, some worship him. Others doubt. But they stand in awe of the mystery before them. Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Jesus affirms and claims what the chief priests and elders had been wondering. "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" they asked over and over again. And here Jesus stands in their presence, a living testimony to God's power and grace working in and through him. Certainly, Jesus has returned to finish the work of their liberation. And the unexpected happens again. See, Jesus turns to them and gives them a final command. He says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you." This final statement has come to be called the Great Commission. Now witnesses to the life, death, and resurrection of Christ, everyone is commissioned to share the good news. Jesus calls them to a life of discipleship. And just as these disciples are worshiping Jesus, ecstatic at his power and victory, Jesus commands them to do a difficult task. Make disciples. Make disciples, not just in Galilee, but of all nations. The work is just beginning. And then think about this. Jesus ascends. At what should be the very moment of glory, Jesus leaves them. Again. Again and again, we find in the narrative pivotal moments where leaders are stripped away. Just as the Israelites had stood on the banks of the promised land, a moment of ultimate victory, Moses dies. The Israelites are charged with entering and conquering the land promised to them. They are to establish a kingdom. Now, as Jesus reveals his glory, victory over death, he ascends and leaves his community of disciples. They too are charged with building a kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. They are to make disciples of Jesus Christ among all nations. And the glue that held them all together, their teacher, Jesus the Christ, has vanished. Again! You really have to wonder about God's sense of humor. Just as we venture out to claim that we've got it, God returns us to a place of mystery. It all seems just beyond our reach. We are stretched to recognize the vast and ineffable nature of God. See, we are provoked to stand in awe and to long to belong to this glorious God of mercy, love, and redemption. Like the poem from Carrie Newcomer, "The Beautiful Not Yet." See, we stand in this moment of restlessness, of quickening, and the almost. We can see it. We know it. We just haven't been able to quite get there yet. Why? See, God seeks to liberate all of creation, to draw all things to a wholeness of peace. This small group of disciples isn't all. God asks us to be a part of that transformation, to live into the beautiful not yet, the belonging and becoming. So in this moment of revelation, commissioning, and ascension, the beautiful not yet is clearly illustrated. And there are three points I would like you to consider. First, Jesus and the disciples lived in an intimate community for several years. They prayed and worshiped together. They learned from and with each other. They ate, slept, and traveled as one among all people. They engaged in difficult and risky work that challenged norms in order to share love with others. Most importantly, they formed a community of mutual love and trust, one that even overcame Judas's act of betrayal. The work starts inward in relational circles that ever widen with Christ, with one another, with the church universal, with our immediate community, and with the world at large. It is a spiritual journey that lasts a lifetime. There's a song, it's called Point to You by We Are Messengers. It says, people ask, where does my story end? I'll say, it starts with you. It starts with Jesus. While our faith journey starts with Jesus and is empowered through the Holy Spirit, discipleship occurs through intentionally developing intimate relationships. Secondly, Jesus' ascension is actually an act of trust. This faithful group of disciples is prepared to do what Jesus is asking them to do. Just as he instructed Mary earlier, do not cling to me. The ministry Jesus instilled in this small community is to be shared with others, to transform all nations. Jesus believes wholeheartedly in this community of disciples. Jesus assures them that the way has been prepared and that all they need is and will be provided. Again, the Israelite tribe experienced the steadfast love of God at the Jordan River. Their new leader, Joshua, was a warrior. God separated the raging waters so they could pass on dry ground. They conquered their enemies and established their kingdom on the promised land. And again, Jesus calls the disciples to build a kingdom where people love God and one another unconditionally. This kingdom is radically inclusive, drawing all nations together in a place where justice prevails and peace reigns. Jesus knows that all they need has already been given. The victory stands before them. Finally, Jesus specifically instructs this community to dedicate their lives to a shared mission. He anoints all of them to devote themselves to one thing, discipleship. Jesus has shown them the way, saying, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another." In this way, as followers of Christ, they are called to go and make disciples. This is a movement. It's a going, acting, doing faith. Jesus implores them, "Do not cling to me. Go." Jesus implores them to share God's love beyond all possible borders. And he will be with them to the ends of the earth. Here we are together on Rally Day, preparing for another year. And we are doing church virtually in ways no one could have predicted or imagined before the COVID-19 pandemic. Our lives feel limited. It feels like the ways we have known and loved church have suddenly disappeared as well. And this year still looms with unknowns. Again, the story offers us this cliffhanger moment. Brothers and sisters, we need not wonder what to do, because the story has been told again and again. We hold on to a steadfast faith in the God who goes with us. Remember the stone tower we built together? God is our rock and our redeemer. We let go of what we think is supposed to be and recognize that God's work is bigger than we can imagine. We accept the beautiful not yet. Infinite love has no boundaries. It stretches us and calls us to reach deeper and wider. And we follow. Friends, we follow the way of Christ. Jesus leads us. We focus on the mission of Christ that he has given his followers. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. This year, we are going to explore discipleship, building common language and experiences around the core mission of Jesus and the church. We will grapple with how discipleship has been shaped in the church's past and how we envision discipleship right here at Calvary. We'll ask difficult questions like, how do we make disciples in a virtual online community? Calvary, this is what we do. We make disciples. This is the story whose again is the becoming of an infinite, eternal source of love that will ultimately transform all creation. This is the story that must be shared again and again and again. This is our mission, to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Praise be to God. Amen. Join me now in our hymn, "Lord, You Give the Great Commission."